Ramsey TV.
Trailed once again by the Star of Bethlehem, which you can see clearly in the background. This is Martin Zender, and I am happy to be with you today, as I am every day. Do you know when your computer asks you to do updates once in a while, right? Well, mine's been wanting me to do an update for like 2 years, and I always defer because I don't want my workflow to be interrupted because it's got to restart and all that. So I'm always saying, ask me later, and then, you know, and then it says, what do you mean by later? Do you mean an hour from now? Do you mean next week? Do you mean next year? I always say tomorrow. That's one of the options. I'm always putting it off. But this morning, I was groggy. I got up, and I accidentally hit, yes, update. I'm like, oh, no, what am I doing? So the thing goes into an update. It's doing it now. I'm hoping that it finishes. I'm making this show the same day that it's going out. It's probably not a great idea, but I like the pressure. So now there's going to be a lot of pressure. Let's see what happens. I have an Apple computer. Now, the only reason I have an Apple, you know how it is when you have an Apple? People are like, that's right, I'm all that, I got an Apple. Well, I'll explain it to you in a little bit here. I'm going to get to my main topic, which is Satan smart? This is good. I can't wait to tell you about this. I almost thought I was wrong about something, but I was wrong. So I accidentally hit update, so the thing's updating, and as it's updating, the Apple logo comes on, right? The company's called Apple, its logo is an apple, and it's got a bite out of it. And for some reason, people see that and they go, ooh, yeah, that's a cool thing, man. Apple is a great product, I have to admit. The only reason I have an Apple is because a friend of mine was trying to convince me to go to a Mac made by Apple. So you need to get over to the Macintosh system, get out of Windows. But, you know, I don't like learning technological things. I'd used Windows for years. I didn't want to jump ship because I don't want to learn something hard. Oh, it's easy. You're going to be great. No, it's not. It's what easy for you, not for me. It's not easy for me. You know me, I'm just like God. I get into my big, fat, hairy, glorious, predictable ruts, and I like them. So I'm visiting him in a city which shall not be named. And he says, well, I need to go to the Apple store. I said, all right, yeah, I'll go with you. He goes in there. He asks the clerk, he goes, what's the best laptop you got here? Oh, this shows you this beauty behind glass, you know, blue velvet and everything. This is the best one. Okay, I'll take one of those. What the? Okay. Come to find out, he's buying it for me. Guess who's going to learn to use an Apple computer? Me. Then he says, well, I need to go to the Verizon store. Ah, okay, I'll follow you. Come to find out, the reason we're in the Verizon store is because I am now getting an Apple phone. What do you call them? An iPhone. See, I don't even know what you call it. So now I have the cool logo, but no thanks to me. This is God overriding Zender. God overrides me. I didn't want an Apple product. Not because I hate the company, but because I hate me. I don't want to learn it. So, turns out, this is one of the most stable products ever. Turns out, I have way fewer problems. Turns out, everything is constant and steady, and these machines work better than any Windows machine. I'm sorry, you may disagree. Don't mean to start a big controversy here. I guess I'm sharing this with you for two reasons. To show you how I am taken care of in spite of myself. I got kicked out, not kicked out, I was asked to leave the laundry room by my lovely landlady, Juliana. See, I would have stayed there till the snatching away because I love it. It's good enough for me, good enough. I live in a laundry room. Great, fine, I don't care. But because in the wisdom of God, he literally pushed me into the cottage. But now, see, I can have fellowship with members of the body of Christ. They come down here because they can sleep somewhere. They have somewhere to stay. If they slept with me before, they'd have to, like, I sleep on the washer, they sleep on the dryer. You know, it's just not conducive to a happy stay. So God is doing this for me, for us. And then they come here and I do interviews with them and you learn a bunch of stuff. You learn about a fellow member of the body of Christ. I'm telling you, God is doing this to me all the time. I can be my worst enemy. So I thank you for all that. But I'm looking at this apple icon. It's got the little bite out of it, right? And then it just hit me for the first time. Eden, the Garden of Eden, taking the bite out of the forbidden fruit. I mean, we don't know if it was an apple. It doesn't say in Scripture it was an apple. It doesn't say that. But there it is, and the logo. And we know that, of course, that was not a good thing that happened in the Garden of Eden. I mean, ultimately it was, but sinned against God. You shall not surely die, Satan, to the first couple. And so here's this rebellious company, really. It's evil. This technology is taking us over, and it's distracting us, and it's evil, and it has to do with the pride of humanity not believing God. So I am now relating the Apple Company, as taken as I am with their products. Unfortunately, you know, their products have taken over my mind too in some way. It's just ridiculous. It's going to be done away with. Yeah, just like sin and death will be done away with. Is Satan smart? Well, he's smart, but not that smart. I think it was two shows ago, I said that I didn't think that Satan was trying to dissuade Christ from the cross. That wasn't his strategy. His strategy was to kill Christ. He wanted Christ to go to the cross. And this is comforting to you and to me, because it means that he's smart in two departments only. But this being is not playing four-dimensional chess. He's not several moves ahead. He's not. Otherwise, he wouldn't do the stuff that he does. He wouldn't have messed with Job and provided God with a wonderful example to all of us of the principles of evil and how he overcomes evil and how all that. He wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't even have killed Christ. He found that out later, that the cross of Christ, the death, entombment, and resurrection. See, this is related to 1 Corinthians 15. Didn't know that would be the reconciliation of the world. Didn't know that, because he's not playing four-dimensional chess. He's kind of a bull in a china shop. I hate that. I'm not qualifying this with anything. He is a bull in a china shop. He doesn't know that much long-term stuff, or else he wouldn't do the stuff he does. He wouldn't. He thinks that the insurrection at the end of the millennium is a good idea. Satan is loosed out of his jail at the end of the millennium. He goes out to deceive all the nations. Oh, this is a good idea. A bull in a china shop. Snorting, clawing, biting. And I'll prove that to you. So what I said was that I don't think Satan, I've heard this theory that Satan was in the Garden of Gethsemane trying to dissuade Christ from the cross. And I said, no, I think Satan was trying to kill him. Well, if someone said it was Elaine, our friend Elaine here commenting, she said, well, no, that's not right, because Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. When Peter was trying to dissuade our Lord from the cross, remember, Jesus is predicting his death after the Son of Man is going to be, you know, killed and raised from the dead on the third day. Peter says, far be it from you, Lord. No, it's not good enough for you. We're not going to let that happen to you. This is Mark chapter 8. Somewhere, I'll put the, 8. Mark 8:33, Jesus being turned about, perceiving his disciple, rebukes Peter, saying, go behind me, Satan, or get behind me, Satan. Calls Peter Satan. So you would think, and this is the reference that Elaine gave. So you would think from that, okay, yeah. And I actually admitted in the comment section of the YouTube video, I go, yeah, you make a good point there, Elaine. I say, yeah, I think, and I actually said, I think you're right. And I said, I'll make the correction on the show, because I love to make corrections when I'm wrong. I love it. As you know, I get so few opportunities to do it. So I thought, great, I'm finally wrong about something, and so I'll be able to correct it. So I was pleased in the video comments under Elaine's comment to say, you know what, I think you're right about this. But then I was driving somewhere yesterday. I'm thinking about this stuff all the time. or what was I doing? And I'm thinking about this in the back of my mind. I'm always working. I'm always thinking about these deep things. So I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. Satan's not that smart, because according to Jesus Christ himself in John 8:44, he's two things. He's a man killer and a liar. He's a man killer and a liar. A man killer and a liar. So I'm looking at this possibility that Satan could be trying to take our Lord from the cross, and I'm thinking, does that fit the man killer category? No. Does it fit the liar category? No. And then I'm looking at the struggle of Christ, as I presented to you yesterday, the struggle of Christ against death. And it's so meaningful to me. It's so important to me to know what he struggled with, because it amplifies his faith, as I was telling you. So I'm thinking, do I want to rob that wrestling match in Gethsemane? Do I want to rob Christ of that personal fear, that personal struggle with death? Do I want to rob him of that and give it to Satan and say that this is coming from Satan? No, to me, that would be like giving Satan more glory. I don't want to do that. It's not what I do here on MZTV. So I want Christ to have, I mean, I don't want him to, but Christ is, it's a personal struggle against death. It's a personal struggle. I want to keep it there. But if this is Satan doing it, then I'll acknowledge it and I'll admit it. But upon considering it again, I'm thinking, you know what? In Mark 8:30, whatever it was, 32, 33, I'm thinking, you know, I think that's, and I knew that the word Satan is Hebrew for adversary. So I know that this doesn't necessarily have to be a proper noun. It doesn't have to be the name. Anything that opposes you is an adversary, is a Satan. Somebody who opposes you, who tries to destroy you or tries to do something bad to you, it's your adversary, right? In the Super Bowl, who is the adversary of the Chiefs? I can't even remember. Who was the adversary of the Chiefs? The Chiefs had a Satan. They were playing a Satan. I can't remember who it was, and I don't care. Oh, the 49ers, yeah. So it can be, it doesn't have to be a proper name. If you capitalize it, it is. But if you don't, it's an adversary. And lo and behold, A. Enoch in Mark 8:44 does not capitalize it. See, I suspected this. Now, I know that this was a judgment of the translator, because there's no capital letters, no small letters in the original Greek. Just all one, all caps, whatever. I don't know. I think it's called uncial or something. So, and yet, I think that's right. I think it's right to consider John 8:44, get behind me, Satan. He's not calling Peter, capital S, Satan. He's calling Peter an adversary to Christ's own tendency to want to agree with Peter. Christ has a tendency to agree with Peter. This should not be happening to you. Christ is going, yeah, it shouldn't. I'm the Son of God. I'm a nice guy. I'm healing people. I'm raising the dead. I'm feeding people. You're right. I'm the Son of God. This shouldn't be happening to me. You're right. So he has a tendency to agree with Peter. So he immediately says, get behind me, Satan. It's like he has to talk himself, listen to me, talk himself out of it. So he calls Peter an adversary, because Peter is an adversarial force to his own tendency to want to avoid the frickin' cross. Do you think Jesus Christ just like, yeah, I'm going to get crucified, time to go, time to die? It terrified him. It horrified him. So in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's not struggling with Satan. He's not. I think Satan's somewhere else. He's struggling with himself. We rob him of that. We say it's Satan. Because you can go here on your own. I'm running low on time. But in John 8:44, Jesus says, again, Satan was a man killer from the beginning. A man killer. That's what he does. He kills men and women and children. He kills. He's a human killer. That's what he does. That's the main thing. And then Jesus goes on to say that he's the father of lies. He's the liar and the father of it. Father of lies. Those are two things he does. And so, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. So he's seeking to kill Christ, to kill Christ. This is, as horrible as it sounds, should come, as horrible as it sounds, should come as good news to you. Because he's not that clever. He's not playing four-dimensional chess. But I mentioned that he's a diabolical genius as far as these false teachings that have come into Christianity, the Christian religion, in order to keep people from coming into the body of Christ. Of course, our favorite trilogy of diabolical deviousness, free will, eternal torment, and the Trinity. But these have to do with what? Lies. He's a liar. That fits the category. He's a liar. Peter says in one place, I'll put the thing up, your adversary, Satan, in this case capital S, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he will devour. Might be good to go to this passage if I have it marked here. I do. Hang on a second. Your plaintiff, your complainer, the one who complains about you, the adversary, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whomever he may be devouring. Here it is. Be sober, watch. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, watch, for your plaintiff, the adversary, is walking about as a roaring lion, seeking someone to swallow up. Swallow up. He's just trying to kill, to swallow, to destroy. What does a lion do? It swallows you. If a lion swallows you, you're dead. You've been killed by a lion. So withstand him, having perceived the same suffering completed in your brotherhood in the world. And then Ephesians 6. I'm hoping as I talk here that my Apple computer is updated and I will go back in the cottage and it will be all ready to go. Otherwise, you might be getting this show late. I hope not. Sorry. So then you have Ephesians 6. Paul says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against, you know, principalities and powers of darkness among the celestials. And then he says, put on the full armor of God to protect you against the stratagems of the adversary. What are stratagems? Lies. So everything Satan does, it looks to me like it falls into two categories, a man killer and a liar, according to our Lord, John 8:44. So if it's capital S, Satan, that's speaking through Peter, saying, oh, no, you don't need to go to the cross. You don't need to go to the cross. Does that fit man killer? No, it actually fits man saver. It actually is saving Christ from death. Satan don't do that. Satan don't do that. You know, no, he's a killer. Is it a lie? No, because there's nothing lying about it. It was an appeal to that part of our Lord that doesn't want to die, doesn't want to be beaten and mocked and scourged and crucified, doesn't want it. We make a big mistake to think that our Lord just like, well, this is what he does. He came to get crucified, so he did it. Oh, God, no. It was a vast, vast struggle for him personally. And this, again, speaks to his faith. And it really speaks to his dedication to us.